Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that you're doing well. Hello to my people over in Sly County, Macon County, Talbot County, Taylor County, Chattahoochee County. I hope you guys are doing well as well. Summertime is really kicking in. Man, it's been hot all week. My AC has been working overtime. And so, you know, I think this is just an indication of what we're in for the rest of the year, because it is going to be a warm time. But you know, summer always bring about that excitement. We get the chance to fire up the grills and throw a little music on in the backyard and just have a good time. You know, everybody just getting along, just enjoying the space that we are in. And it's so important that we do that, because unfortunately I had to lay to rest one of my good friends this past week, Mr. Lyndon Alexander Esquire, Lyndon James Alexander Esquire, the son of Miss Valerie Alexander, as well as Charles Alexander. And so it was a very tough time, because he was a young guy from right here in Columbus, Georgia. Went to Columbus High School, graduated from Columbus High School, and went on to UGA, where he majored in political science and pre-law. And then he left UGA and went to George Washington Law School in Washington, D.C. He came back and passed the Georgia bar, was working in D.C. and just doing well with life. And unfortunately, he left us at the tender age of 27. But I tell you, his memories will always be with us, and what he wanted us to do in Columbus here as improving our community and working to make things better. There are so many of us that are committed to living out that vision and living out the things that we talked about while he was here with us on earth. So, you know, it was very difficult, but I know that he wouldn't want us to be sad. He would want us to remember him as he was someone that was willing to help anyone that needed assistance or anyone that was having a hard time. So Lyndon Alexander, my brother, this particular show is dedicated to you, my friend, and just want you to know that we love you, brother, and you will certainly be missed. And speaking of such excellence from a young black man, now I'm going to shift gears and talk about esteem excellence from a young black woman right here in Columbus, Georgia. It is truly an honor to have with me today a phenomenal individual that just shocked the conscience of Columbus, Georgia and the rest of Muskogee County by becoming the 2019 Teacher of the Year for the Muskogee County School District. I am beyond excited to have with me today the phenomenal woman that she is, Miss Daisha Irvin. How you doing, Miss Irvin?
I'm doing pretty good today. How about yourself?
I am great. I am blessed. I'm just so glad to have you here today on the show. You know, I know you're probably getting tons of media requests and people want to talk to you and folks reaching out to you. And so I'm just so glad that you made time to stop by here at Davis Broadcast and to have a conversation with us and speak with me on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And I'm going to get in a little bit of your business today. Is that all right?
That's okay.
Okay. So I always like to go to the excitement first. Tell me what it was like to be sitting there and to hear them call your name as the Teacher of the Year.
It was definitely shocking. You know, I didn't, you know, you want to win it, but at the same time, you know, there's so many great teachers that are in that same category. So it was a shock. It was a shock, but I was extremely excited and happy that I could do that, and proud, mm-hmm. most of all, to represent my school that, you know, that a lot of people don't usually think of in the most favorable light. So it was a huge honor. It just made me proud, as well as everybody in my school. You could just see the pride was palpable.
Right. So. Right. And so what school are you at again?
I'm at Baker Middle School.
Baker Middle School. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do quite a bit of work down at Baker Middle School, particularly when I was with Georgia Appleseed and we were rolling out PBIS.
Yes.
And that framework, and, you know, when we were bringing grants to the school district. And, you know, I was fortunate to work with a team that brought the $2.5 million grant that allowed us to have Project Aware, mm. and some other things that are so critical. And of course, I'm there a lot with Dr. Shea Anderson, her group, working with the Robert Lamar Alexander Academy that they do in the evenings. I love Baker Middle School.
Yes.
I mean, the environment is so amazing. And yes, you said it correctly that some people try to look at that particular school in a negative light, but I simply like to think that they're misinformed.
Exactly.
Because I think we have some of the next scientists, some of the next leaders, some of the next doctors, some of the next lawyers.
Absolutely.
Right there. Tell us about your students there.
My students are, they awe me every day. They're just so resilient, and their creativity alone just astounds me. And they are, you know, they're on a different level. They don't learn the same way as, say, students at Columbus High or intelligence. Their intelligence is very different from the intelligence that, you know, everyone says it should look like. They are problem solvers. They are deep thinkers. Mm. And they have conversations for every issue going on in our society, in our world. They are very much aware. And they all have pretty informed opinions.
You know, you just described our ancestors.
Exactly.
Problem solvers. Mm-hmm. Deep thinkers. You know, and pay a lot of attention to a lot of things. If you look at the African-American culture historically, in which this school is predominantly African-American, we have learned differently. We've done things differently. But you can't say that we haven't done amazing things because right now the pyramids in Africa still stand.
Absolutely.
The Sphinx still stand. Mm-hmm. And people are trying to figure out how did they do that so many, many years ago. Now, you know, having your name announced as the winner of the Teacher of the Year win, which is just it's so amazing. Didn't even say that, you know. Did you feel the same way when you made the top three?
I did. I felt like I was like, "Are you sure?" You know. I remember looking like, "Am I going to open this and it's going to be like, oh, whoops, we came to the wrong school?" But I think that the biggest thing, even from the start of writing my application, I kind of wanted to tell the story of my kids. I wanted to tell the story of how much they go through on a daily basis that you can't wrap your head around. And then talk about everything that they've accomplished despite that, despite the many issues that happen. And we all know in high poverty neighborhoods, I mean, there are no stranger to violence, gun violence or gang violence or any of those things.
Which I think we need to work on so much for the sake of our children.
Absolutely.
We got to do that immediately to save tomorrow.
Absolutely. And that's what it just astounds me that these children grow up in these situations. They come to school and they still have the capacity to not only do above and beyond what people tell them they can't do, but also they have such a huge capacity for empathy and caring for other people. I mean, they are middle schoolers, so we know what it's like to be in middle school all of that. But at the same time, they truly, truly care about not only their side of town, but also, where they come from. You know, for many of them, they'll tell you, you know, I wish I didn't live on this side of town, or I wish I went to a school on the north side. And that breaks my heart more than anything.
And it can be so depressing.
Yeah.
And having to break through that every day so that you can get to the curriculum.
Exactly. You got to get through
that challenge. How is that challenge?
Well, the biggest thing that I think, and any teacher will tell you, is building relationships. But our students are a little different because not only do you have to build relationships, you have to build trust. Because our kids, they don't come with a strong sense of trust for adults for various reasons. You know, be it for most of them, the adults in their lives, they come and go. And it could be for various reasons such as incarceration. So maybe it's not a choice that they've left, but they're not there anymore. So you have to break through the hard exterior of I don't know what your intentions are right now. So after you get through that, then you can build that relationship to where they'll share with you, they'll try for you, they'll They will do anything for you if they can trust you.
And I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you talk about building trust and building relationships. And I'm looking at you and, you know, you're sitting here with your beautiful natural hair. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have on excessive makeup. And I know you're coming directly from school activities because we talked about that. And so this was your appearance to the students today.
Today. This was
And that was you. And so... Wow, they can so relate. Mm-hmm. A little black girl can say her hair looks like mine, mm-hmm. and it's not all pressed and permed.
Exactly. Wow. That's my goal, I think, for all of them to say, you know, not only should you be able to see yourself in me, mm-hmm. but I see myself in you. I was in your shoes. We didn't grow up the same, no. I, you know, my family was, and I have conversations often with my fiance about mm-hmm. this. Even though you come from the same race, you may not come from the same culture. That happens often.
You know, my dad was deep on me now. Yeah. Let's go. Let's talk, baby. I love it.
And so it does, just because we look alike. And that's a barrier that a lot of times even teachers that are African American and mm-hmm. are what look like us, mm-hmm. that's something they struggle with because mm-hmm. they didn't grow up in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up in an Air Force home, two parents, and, you know, even though they were young parents and I ended up being a young parent, I didn't grow up facing the same issues my children face.
Now, did you grow up here in Columbus?
I didn't. I grew up everywhere. My dad was Air Force. He was in Air Force since I was two. Mm-hmm. And I think we landed here my ninth grade year. So I've been here since ninth grade. But before ninth grade, I was all over the United States.
Now, where did you finish high school?
I finished high school at Kendrick. So
Kendrick High.
I bleed blue and gold.
Cherokees, baby. Cherokees. I got one of my good friends, Marquise Skinny Avery, is a graduate of Kendrick High School.
Yeah, okay. I'm a Cherokee for life.
Now, and where did you go to college?
I went to Troy because mm-hmm. I was a young mother. So mm-hmm. I wanted to go to Columbus University, mm-hmm. but the curriculum just didn't allow me to work and go to school at the same mm-hmm. time. And I found it easier to do so at Troy. Mm-hmm. So I got my bachelor's there. Mm-hmm. And then I went off, once I started teaching, I just recently got my master's, I want to say like last year sometime. Mm-hmm. So from Columbus State. But
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. An incredible journey. And now you sit here today as the teacher of the year. And you've talked about, you know, having a pretty decent childhood, because of the career path that your parents chose, but you also talked about being an early mother. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you had your first child?
I was 17 or 18. I can't remember. She is 18 now. Okay. Oh my gosh. She's gonna be so upset. I actually just dropped her. I have an 18-year-old who is right now
22. Oh,
thank you. She is right now in basic training in San Antonio.
Wow.
I dropped her off yesterday. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster these last few days.
Yeah,
you know, really high highs and really, really low lows. So.
Well, at the moment you had your first child, if you could take us back there for a moment, did you mm-hmm. feel like your life was done, or did you feel like you would no longer have opportunities to pursue your dreams?
Actually, it was the opposite. It was more of a wake-up call. You know, I had just graduated high school. Mm-hmm. I had no responsibilities. I was living in my mom's house. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go to college. Maybe I wouldn't. I hadn't figured it out yet. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a sense of urgency to figure it out, mm-hmm. to be honest. When I got pregnant, it was like a fire was lit because, like I said, my parents have... I wanted to give automatically any parent that first thought is I want my kids to have more than I had. Mm-hmm. So how can I do that with just a high school diploma, living in my mom's house, not really sure of what's to come? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of sparked me to think, you know, what is my career choice going
to
be?
Your mom and I are Facebook friends, and I love
her. Are you?
She is so awesome.
She is awesome. And she is that mama that is no holds barred. She speaks the truth, and she'll have your back when she's when she's behind you, but when she's disagreeing, she's like, uh-uh.
You're going to know it.
You're going to know it. You are going to know it.
And that's a strong mm-hmm. black mother.
It
and,
is. You know,
and many of them mm-hmm. are that way. And
I love to brag on her because she was a young mom. She was way younger than me. She was 15 when she had me.
Wow.
And not only did she essentially did the same thing, but my mom is working on her doctorates now. And
phenomenal.
Exactly. So she is like the person I look at when I think. So when I got pregnant, that's mm-hmm. what I said. I was like, well, she did it. She is right. the strongest woman I know. Right. I can do this.
Right.
So.
Right. I think that is so amazing. And intertwining what you were just talking about is something that I often talk about, which is breaking generational curses. Mm-hmm. You know, especially within the African American community, it's kind of hard for anyone to see that opportunity to lift yourself mm-hmm. out of the conditions in which you are born in. But we don't have to be a victim of our circumstances.
Absolutely not.
And we don't have to be a victim of our situations if we put our mind to it and we have that support system mm-hmm. that you also talked about mm-hmm. that helps us. That's why, in particularly in the black community, great mentors, great community Absolutely. Leaders that are engaged and actually out in the community mm-hmm. and not just showing up to vote, you know, at the meetings, those things matter. Mm-hmm. They matter. And we got to start demanding that in order to improve our community. But I want to talk a little bit more about your babies at Baker Middle School when we mm-hmm. get back. We got to take a quick break. You know, it always happened this way. Daisha, when we having a good conversation, it's time to let our sponsors talk. So yes, this is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back in 1 second. You don't want to miss the second half of our show with the Muskogee County School District Teacher of the Year for 2019, Ms. Daisha Irvin.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I am having the conversation of my life with the 2019 Teacher of the Year, Muskogee County School District, Ms. Daisha Irvin. Of course, Daisha, you know, Stephon Lawrence is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my boy. He and I, we talk, we hang out, we help each other, we inspire each other, support each other. And so, you know, I thought we knocked it out the park when he became the Teacher of the Year, but you was like, hold my drink. Let me show y'all something. So it's just amazing to have in such close proximity mm-hmm. two people from the African American community setting the standard, setting the bar for education right here in Muskogee County. People out there that don't know you, grandmothers cried for you when they saw yes. those news stories. Mothers thank God for you when they saw those news stories. Fathers looked at that and said, that is the model daughter. Yes. You know, and so there's so many of us that are living our ancestors' wildest dreams.
Exactly.
And that's what you're doing.
I think the thing that when I won, one of the things I remember the most was, of course, my mom she would not let me go. But right after that, as I was walking to the stage, a woman stopped me. And I don't even know, gosh, I wish I knew who she was, because she stopped me as mm-hmm. I was heading up. And she said, I prayed for you. And
oh
that,
my God.
She didn't know me.
Oh, my
she,
God.
All she knew was that
oh my God.
I was working with
oh my God.
With our forgotten children.
Right.
That's what I called right. them, because right. it's pretty much true. But she prayed for me, and that just touched me so much. You know, Jesus. It was just the fact that you know, somebody out there. And like you said, there are people that I don't even know who have mm-hmm. done that. Mm-hmm. And I just thank God for them. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Just to be wrapped in so much light and love wow. is just wow. phenomenal.
You know, there's oftentimes this notion that is out there. And it still lives because it's only propelled by a few folks. I don't mm-hmm. think the majority feel this way. But there's a notion, you know, that the younger generation, you know, we won't step up. We won't do what we need to do. We won't take leadership. And then when we do those type things, you have those that are the first to attack you. Why are you doing that? Why are you running against this person? Why are you being mean to that person? Or why are you criticizing this person? Well, you know, it depends on the role that they're in. Sometimes we need to be critiqued. And it's out of love.
Very true.
But mm-hmm. then there's the big masses. There's the overwhelming majority that, especially of our older population, that looks at us young people that are doing great things and making moves, and they pray for us.
Yes.
They support us. Mm-hmm. You may not hear it in the street. Mm-hmm. You may not see it on Facebook, but they are so deep and ingrained in making sure that the next generation have the right people in place to take us to the next level.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's what I love about our senior population, because you have those hidden jewels.
Absolutely.
Ingrained in there, just like the lady who told mm-hmm. you that she was praying for you. And you know, and so I want us to get to a point to where we can provide more teachers like yourself with additional resources that you need to get what you need done in the classroom done. Mm. And to also pull some of the constraints off of you so that you can teach according to your class. Because Absolutely. Every student is built differently.
Every single one.
One curriculum is not gonna Mm-mm. meet all their individual needs. Mm-mm.
And the thing is, it's not fair to not only the students who are performing at a lower level, but it's also really truly not fair to those students who are performing at a higher level as well. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, how much growth can you make if you've scored as high on that test as right. you possibly can?
Right.
You're not going to show growth the next year. So it also doesn't help them. I think the only that test is kind of like throwing everything to everyone in the middle and hoping it sticks everywhere else. So I think that just like we teach, because they do recommend we teach to each student, but then they go through and they label entire schools as failing based on one test that is created for one type of learner. Whereas I'm teaching to students who are more of a, you know, situational problem solvers. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they are. Like, they are people who, if you give them a task, they want to figure out how to solve it. That's where their learning takes place. They may not know the technicality behind the math, but they can solve the math if you put it in a way that's, I'm solving this issue, like in a realistic way. That's the way they see it.
So, Daisha, I was just wondering from, you know, from a student perspective, what did you do to equip yourself to understand the dynamics of every student? And I ask you this because, you know, I used to often give this hypothetical when I was talking in the community that, you know, and this is not anything bad. It's the truth. If you take a young Caucasian girl mm-hmm. who attended Harris County High School mm-hmm. and she went to UGA and majored in education and moved back to Columbus, most likely a new person coming into the system will find themselves in some of the most challenged schools. It Absolutely. Always worked that way. Mm-hmm. The UGA curriculum is not going to teach that little white girl Absolutely raised in not. Harris County how to understand the complexities of the issues that plague our children sometimes.
Exactly.
How if you could put that on paper or give a course to people on understanding, particularly minority children, African-American children, and reaching them and teaching them where they are, what would you say? Like, what advice would you give them?
Well, there's no book that will teach it. You have to be in the community. You have to talk to the children. You have to talk to the parents. You got to get to know these kids, and you got to get to know what they're going through. But not only that, I mean, and I'm sure most teachers who get into the profession do it because they care, but it also takes a level of throwing out everything you knew. Whatever perception of what you thought it should look like in a classroom, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. go in there with an open mind and an open heart. So it's not going to look the same way, like we said, in Harris County as it does in our classrooms. But not only that, you kind of have to get to the why. You can't just say, oh, these kids, they're horrible, I'm not coming back. You know, there's always a why. Mm-hmm. Children aren't just that way. Mm-hmm. There's something behind that. So you kind of have to, you got to take yourself out of it. It's not, and this is what I tell all teachers, it's not about you. It's really not. It's about them. So there was a prayer, especially when I first started, that I would say before I entered the building. And that was simply, God, let me be what you need me to be so that I can reach your kids.
Wow.
Let me be, use me the way you need to use me so that I can do whatever I need to do to help these children today.
Wow.
So that meant that the things that I wouldn't accept from my children, I still don't accept them from these children. I tell them that all the time. They're my children. If I don't accept it from my personal children at home, I'm not going to do it here.
Right.
However, it was no longer, personal. It wasn't a personal attack on me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they didn't have the tools to react to situations
I remember when I first moved to Columbus and I was working in a particular school, and I'm not going to identify that school, but I was there that day visiting the principal, and a parent came in and said, I got this note from you guys that you need to see me because my daughter has been sleeping in class and acting up, and you know, I'm just getting out of jail and I've been in jail for 3 weeks and I'm trying to see what's going on. Well, there was no father in the home. So this child that she was coming to check on, which was an eighth grader, was responsible for getting her brother in the fifth grade and her brother in the first grade ready for school every day, feeding them every night, making sure they got home safely. That eighth grader had to be the parent.
The parent.
And that was a prime example of if the teacher would have taken the time to talk to that student, especially if it's a abrupt change in the behavior.
Absolutely.
She's normally a straight A student, but now she's sleeping in class. Something is going on.
Exactly.
It takes just a tiny bit of probing. Just a tiny bit. And so I felt so bad, not only for that parent, but for those children.
Absolutely. And it's not uncommon. And that was that's the biggest frustration I think that teachers from our building are feeling. You know, her situation is a situation we see often in our school. And it's not necessarily because of incarceration. It could be because mom is working the night shift.
Right.
Or, you know, and mom is the only parent there. So, I mean, that's not uncommon. And that is one of the few battles, of the many, I'm sorry, battles that we face. You know, how do you teach a child who hadn't slept or who's now the parent in the household? I mean, there are ways, but like I said, it's all about relationship building and knowing the kids and knowing the parents. A lot of times it's easy to blame the parents to say, oh, if they had done this or they had done that. But we also got to keep in mind that maybe the parents aren't equipped with the tools that they were supposed to be equipped
Unfortunate circumstances.
Exactly.
You know, I remember when cell phones first came out, that the ones you could actually carry around, because those bag phones didn't count.
Yeah.
You know, and you could only get them in a few colors, one touch screen, you weren't streaming no video, you could barely send a text, you know. But technology has advanced so much, and so many things have changed.
Absolutely.
And it's oftentimes different for generations to keep up with that because it's moving so fast.
Fast, yes. Absolutely.
It's moving so fast. And, you know, and so I guess I want to ask you in this final question, because we're running out of time here. Without a doubt, you have shined an amazing light on Baker Middle School.
I'm so proud.
An amazing light on South Columbus.
Yes.
You know, there's something else to talk about now than just Walmart on Victory Drive.
Absolutely.
You know, there's something big to talk about, and this is big. And not only do we need to just look at it isolated and just focus on you, but we need that. We also got to have the larger conversation on how you did this within the environment that many others wouldn't even attempt.
Yeah.
And how you were able to be so successful and so strong. So can you give some of our parents and other educators that may be listening and community partners and business leaders, can you just give them, in your words, why they should not give up on our students like you have not given up on our students?
Oh, that's easy. They will be the leaders in our community when we're not capable of doing it. They will be the ones, for better or worse. So we can either build and tell them they're no good, and then we have this, you know, crime problem. Mm-hmm. Or we can tell them they're great, and they could be the next business owner, and they can be the next activist. They can change the rules of the game and make it so that that the obstacles they faced, nobody else has to face. We can tell them that, and when we tell them that and we don't give up on that and repeatedly tell them that, that's when our society changes. That's when our world changes. This age, our children, this is our future. Like, so many people are like, how do we change this or how do we change that? We start at ground zero. We start with our babies. We can only put into them those ideals. We can share with them the knowledge and how to make a difference and how to make a change. That's where we start at. And one of the things I would love to see, an open invitation to all community leaders to come to the school, show up. We have tennis courts in our backyard. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our kids don't know how to play tennis. It's something as simple as that. Share yourself with them. Share something that they may have never been exposed to. If you're into golf, create a golf club at our school. Mm-hmm. You know, they do it. Like I said, tennis, anything that they don't normally see mm-hmm. on the south side of town, mm-hmm. expose them to mm-hmm. it. It's that simple.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Columbus and West Central Georgia and all my people down near Dothan and Fort Gaines and Cuthbert and Bainbridge, we have had the fortune today of speaking with Muskogee County, Columbus, Georgia, 2019 Teacher of the Year, Ms. Daisha Irvin. And Ms. Irvin, I see why the committee selected you. It's extremely evident the glow that they felt from you and God's blessings that are wrapped around you and your spiritual guidance, but your love and your compassion for simple human beings. And you're doing your part to solve the problems that we have in our community. And we appreciate that. And oftentimes our educators, you guys, you have a very difficult time and people don't understand the challenges that you have within those walls of the schools. And we all want to look at things through single lens and think that there's one solution to all of our problems, but there isn't one solution. We got to find multiple solutions because the place that we are in right now has been growing and brewing for years, and we're not going to come out of it in a weekend event. We're not going to come out of this place in 1 year, but we can start positive trends to getting us back to where we need to be. And I'm just so thankful for you. You are a phenomenal woman indeed. You will represent, and you are representing Muskogee County and the people of Columbus phenomenally well from that little Southside Black school, Baker Middle School.
Thank you.
And I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being here. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, where we have had an amazing conversation with Ms. Daisha Irvin, and we're so proud of her. So we certainly want you to join us next week. We're going to get ready to wrap things up, but just keep in mind, if you see her in the community, give her a high five, you know, give her a nod, give her a hug, but just let her know you are just as proud of her as we are for what she has accomplished. Thank you again, Ms. Irvin, for being here, and I look forward to talking with you guys again next Sunday. Bye-bye. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, his website, and his radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.